I want to talk to you today a little bit about pain. Is there anybody here that has gone through pain? You know what I'm talking about? I have a special doctor. He is a pain doctor. And I'm thankful for that. I had a church member one time that was a pain. No, I mean that was their last name. They were a pain too. Edit that part out, Chris. But pain can be debilitating. Someone said to me last week after church, said, man, the last two Sundays have just been so glorious with the presence of God. I said, you know why? They said, why? I said, because I've had an incredible amount of pain. And whenever I'm weak, He's strong in me. I have found in my life that when I am at my most painful moments, it's then that God is the closest. It's then that He's there measuring your trial, guaranteeing your outcome. Several years ago, probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 years ago, Kathy and I went to Aruba with our girls. And it was shortly after the Natalie Holloway thing. We weren't trying to get rid of our girls or anything, but we just we went there and for a vacation. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, Kathy and I were walking down to the beach. It was about 8 o'clock at night. We were walking from the hotel down to the beach, and all of a sudden, I just hit the ground. I had a debilitating pain that came in my back that paralyzed me, and I could not walk. We got back to the hotel room. I called the hospital to try to go to the hospital. Found out that when you're out of the country, your insurance doesn't work for a lot of places. And Aruba said, we don't take American insurance. We don't take Blue Cross Blue Shield. Now, I could write my own prescription for a narcotic and get a narcotic to help with the pain, but I couldn't go into the hospital. It was the craziest thing I ever saw. And for days, I laid in the bed on this wonderful vacation resort, curled up in a ball with debilitating pain. It was the worst I've ever seen. You know, my wife, she got on the phone with American Airlines or whoever it was we were with, and somehow she convinced them to put me in first class, and she got me in a wheelchair, rolled me back into the airport, and they put me on a plane. They sent us home on this airplane, and I got home and got over to Dr. Hotchkiss's, and he snapped me a little bit and cracked me and popped me, and I was able to at least walk. But then I went in, and they did MRIs and everything. Come to find out, they diagnosed me with severe spinal stenosis. Now, that is when your spinal column goes down your back. As it farther down it goes, it narrows and to the point where it squeezes your nerves and pinches them. And so I had that going on in my... And for basically for the last 10 years, about every 4 months, I have to go in and get injections into my back that opens up that spinal column again and lets it breathe where it's not pinching the nerves. Thank you, Doc, for adjusting me to Friday or whatever day it was. He helped me again. There's just been a lot of pain. Many of you know our basement was flooded. And twice, not once, but twice, we came home from vacation and a water pipe had busted on the hot water heater. And I don't know, but hundreds of gallons of water went in my basement and my recording studio with all this electronical equipment. Thank the Lord that we have two sump pumps and they were both running nonstop, pumping all that out. And then it came in a storm after we ripped all the carpet out and that flooded again through a window. And we've never had water in our basement. But it was our window well was that full of water, and it just somehow was heavy enough to push the window, and it came in just like a spigot. And so I guess all that on my back, doing all that, and we had two trees that came down in the backyard, so we were hauling all that out. My wife worked so hard. At one point, all I could do was sit in a chair, and I'd cut branches when she would hand them to me. But, man, I feel good this morning. But you know what? There's a pain that's worse than my back pain, and that is emotional pain. How many have ever gone through and know that there are times when you hurt worse inside than you can ever hurt physically? And sometimes it's not even for you. Sometimes it's for the people you love. You know, Kathy, you've watched your father as he's, you know, been ill, and that is so painful to know there's nothing you can do. I was with two different people at the hospital on Friday, and my heart just broke. I thought, God, let me do something. All I could do was pray. And there are times when all we can do, church, is pray. But that is powerful. See, the Psalm 147 verse 3 says, He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. I am so glad that I'm serving a God who heals broken hearts. Now, if you've never experienced a broken heart, let me tell you something. Your heart is your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. And the Bible teaches us that to the Jew, the heart also included the memories. Because remember, Mary treasured up all these things in her heart regarding Jesus. So your mind, your heart, your soul is at times can be broken. And when it's broken, it's like a cracked glass. Water spills out and everything flows out. And when you go through a broken heart, I have found in my own life dealing with this, that there are times when you sit there and you can't shut off the emotions. You cry at the drop of a hat. There's times when you lay in bed at night and you can't shut it down. It just won't stop. And your heart has been broken. And sometimes I have found that broken hearts can come from mere words that people insensitively say. Come on. Saints of God, be careful the words that you say. Words have power, and words have life, and words can also bring death. John chapter 11, I want you to go to one of those familiar Bible stories. I'm so sad that when I go to Israel now, we can no longer really go to Bethany because it's in the West Bank and it's Palestinian controlled, and it's really, last time we went, there was garbage all over and it really was bad. But one of the things I used to always enjoy was to go to the tomb of Lazarus in Bethany. And you could actually go down the steps where Lazarus had to hop up those steps when he had those grave clothes when Jesus raised him from the dead. But let's start with the story today. I want to begin with verse 10. We'll read down to verse 18 and then we'll go a few more verses after that. First of all, Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that power that makes teaching and preaching come easy. Lord, my voice is very much gone this morning from singing, but I ask you to restore my voice, to let me share the words that you have put upon my heart. Bring this message forth today with boldness and clarity. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. Now, how many know that the child of God never knows what we call death? We never die. You say, Pastor Keith, that's silly. I've had loved ones that die. No, you don't have loved ones that die if they know Jesus. You have loved ones that moved. Listen, when your loved ones that know Jesus, when they stop breathing in this life, they never know death. They immediately are in the presence of God. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me will live and not die. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. But I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. They're playing doctor. You ever have people do that? Lord, if he's just sleeping, he'll get better. We don't need to go down there. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly. How many know there's sometimes when you just got to speak to people plainly? Amen. Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Now, there's something that I have said routinely, and it just came out of a time of pain in my life where God birthed this statement in my heart. And it's not something I read or anything like that. It's based upon principles of God's word. But you've heard me say 1,000 times, nothing in my life, either good or bad, can happen until it first filters through the hands of a sovereign God. So if it gets this far, it comes with purpose, and God will see me through. Jesus had a purpose for allowing Lazarus to die. You getting this? Yeah. You're going to see when we read the story, he lingers around 2 days before he even goes on the journey to Bethany to see Lazarus. He purposely let him die. Now, when you read that from a distance, you think, how cruel. But Jesus makes a statement here. He said, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Listen, saints, sometimes we wonder, because the greatest mystery in life is why bad things happen to good people. There are times it rips my heart out to see people I love suffering and going through stuff. But listen, God always has a purpose and a plan. Are you hearing me? And when he allowed this to happen to Lazarus, he allowed it so that people would believe. There's a purpose for pain in our life. Rhonda Gunn said years ago, God never wastes pain. In other words, if he allows pain to come into your life, he's allowing it for a purpose. Do you know most of the horrible things you've gone through in your life? God wants you to be able to help people who are going through that right now. Verse, he says, therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, good old Thomas, let us also go so that we may die with him. Where'd that come from? I believe when you get to heaven, Thomas is going to probably have to sit in the corner for making that statement. That's a joke. Let us also go so that we may die with him. That sounds goofy, don't it? So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. One of the greatest things about going to the Holy Land, and I hope we can go again soon. This is the first year that I don't have a trip scheduled and a long time. But it's so cool because the Bible is the written word of God. Jesus is a living word of God. But Israel is the geographical word of God. And when you go there, you see that Lazarus is like McChesney Park. We're in Rockford, but it's McChesney Park. It's right over there. It's just 2 miles from Jerusalem. Isn't that incredible? And so it kind of begins to come to your mind when you get there and see it. And he found that he had been dead already in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. Lazarus became ill. I wish Christians never got sick. And you may say, but why do they get sick, Pastor Keith? Well, there are a lot of people who will say, if you get sick, it's because you don't have enough faith or there's sin in your life. But I don't believe that. I believe there is a reason people get sick. And you know what it is? Because the devil hates you. Jesus made it clear in John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life. Now you might say, but Pastor Keith, don't we have to get sick in order to die? No. A lot of people never get sick and die. I don't want to get sick before I die. I want to just close my eyes and go to be with Jesus. Isn't that the way to do it? I've always said I want to live to be 120 and then just go dig a hole and jump in. Lazarus gets sick, though, and I got to get my thing back to where I was at. Lazarus gets sick, and Mary and Martha are brokenhearted because of what their brother is going through. So they send word to Jesus telling him that he's ill. Now, in that day, they did not have text messages. There was no Verizon, no T-Mobile. And what they had to do was literally send someone on a donkey or run him by foot to go find where Jesus was and to bring him this message, Lord, the one you love is sick. Now, the part of the story that's always amazed me is that upon hearing the news, Jesus stayed 2 more days before he even begins the journey. That blows my mind. Now, the first thing I want to tell you this morning about pain is this. Pain is a universal experience. Pain is a universal experience. The sisters send word to Jesus. They say, Lord, the one you love is sick. It don't matter how strong you are, how young you are, how old you are. Pain has a way of coming to us all. It finds us sometimes at our weakest moment. Can you say amen? Now look at verse 19. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Sometimes the pain we deal with in our life can be physical, and sometimes it's pain in the heart, emotional pain, and that is every bit as real. Sometimes, like Mary and Martha, it's just the pain that we get from watching people we love suffer and go through difficult times in their life. Sometimes it's pain of watching our children make mistakes that we can't correct. While I would venture to say that there's probably not a person in here that hasn't dealt with some kind of difficult pain in your life. For some, it's the scars and memories of their childhood. I thank God that I had a good childhood, but not everybody does. Do you know, I've had people sit in my office and say they can't even call God Father because of a horrible father they had. It's so true. I've had people break out in tears just to be able to think of calling God Father because of the pain that they went through. Pain can be different in kind. It can be physical. It can be emotional. And sometimes it's different in a degree. Sometimes it's horrible pain. Sometimes it's mild pain that you just know is there. Sometimes pain can be hidden, and it causes our heart to grow callous. Lazarus' pain was physical, but Mary and Martha's pain was emotional. You with me? While he was sick of an illness that would eventually kill him, their pain was dealing with watching their brother wither away. How many have ever been to the hospital and saw this little chart? You know what I'm talking about? Man, when I got bit by the itsy bitsy spider down in Florida and I went into the hospital, every couple hours, the nurse would come in and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain? And I'd say 42. There's different degrees in pain. But listen, I personally believe with all of my heart that Jesus is right there measuring your trial. He knows exactly what you're going through. He's guaranteeing your outcome, and He is there to see you through. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Sometimes the pain God allows in our life, while we don't understand it, there's a reason. Because God sees everything in the light of eternity we see in time. Come on. God sees in eternity. Second thing I want you to notice about pain is this. People react to pain differently. You're not going to always understand people because they're going through pain. You know what? When I go through pain, sometimes I'm grouchy. I know you're looking at me saying, how could somebody that sweet and lovable ever be grouchy? Ask Kathy. It just makes me, I don't want to talk to anybody. Don't touch me when I'm in pain. I'm in pain. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want sympathy. I just want it to be over. Mary and Martha both were hurting at the loss of their brother. And as a matter of fact, I noticed something different when I read the story this weekend that I never noticed before. They both lashed out at Jesus. I always thought it was just Martha. I thought it was just Martha. By the way, sometimes pain will make you lash out at people and you'll say things that you would never otherwise say. I know I'm just preaching to perfect people, and you're all up there going, boy. Look at verse 21, and then we'll look at verse 32. First verse 21. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Can you imagine saying that? You go to a funeral, and somebody walks over and says, it's your fault. See, one of the things I have found many times that pain will cause you to lash out. Say things you would never or ordinarily say. Here's Martha. Jesus, it's your fault. Now, when I first read that, that's what I thought. I read it a second time and I thought, wow, that's a statement of faith. Are you getting what she's saying? Lord, I don't know how. I don't understand the whole workings of the thing. But I just know if you were here, that could not have happened. You and death can't be in the same room. You getting it? Now look at verse 36. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, this is the passage of Scripture that has the shortest verse in all the Bible. Two words. What is it? Jesus wept. Why did Jesus weep? Why did he weep? He didn't weep because of what Lazarus had gone through. He wept because of what Mary and Martha were going through. The pain they were feeling. Lazarus wasn't feeling any pain. And Jesus sees these two women that are so broken. They say, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. Do you notice anything different about Mary's experience and conversation with Jesus and Martha's? She fell at his feet. Very familiar posture for her. You remember the time she came in and she had that oil that she'd been saving and she knows that Jesus is going to die at this time, and she goes down and she pours the oil and the perfume on his feet, and then she takes her hair and she dries his feet with her hair, and she loves him and adores him. And here once again, Mary comes to Jesus. She falls at his feet in submission and says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. What I find so incredibly is that many times when pain comes, we scream, why? Everybody wants to know why. When you go through something or you get a diagnosis from a doctor, the first thought that comes in is, why? Man, when my dog died a year ago, I was devastated when called the vet and found out my dog had died. And my first thought was, why? Why? They're not supposed to die. You know, just because you took them in to get fixed. I'd probably die if you took me in to get fixed. But how many have ever asked God why? Can we be real? I have. Here's what I found. When we get to heaven, I truly believe all those questions we have for God, they won't even matter anymore. See, there's a verse that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. It says this, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully just as I have also been fully known. There's a lot of meat in that verse. Let's just dissect it for a minute. First of all, we know in part right now. I don't care how much you've read the Word. It doesn't matter to me how spiritual you are. You still know in part because you live on planet Earth. There's coming a day when you're going to know in full. When you're going to be in the presence of Him, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We see dimly now, but then we will see face to face. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? All those things won't even matter when we get there. We'll come in and say, Lord, I've got a list for... It don't even matter, Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. See, the third thing is this. Jesus understands your pain. Now, I have a feeling right now, everybody in here has probably somehow got on your mind what your big pain is right now. And don't point to him. You know what I'm talking about right now, whether it's a physical pain or an emotional pain, a pain with your kids, whatever it is. You get that in your mind right now. Hey, listen, Jesus understands that pain. Whether it's physical or spiritual, He knows your pain. Look at verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And when Jesus saw her weeping, verse 33, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Do you know the word wept is much different than the word cry? It is almost an uncontrollable sobbing, a weeping, Jesus literally was sorrowful at this point and weeping. I want you to understand something today. God knows your pain. That's the very reason, one of the reasons He sent His Son and He became flesh and blood so that He could identify with our pain. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but we have one who's been tempted in every way we've been tempted. He knows the pain you're going through. Let me ask you a question this morning. What illness could we ever face that would equal the pain that he endured upon the cross? What back pain could I ever have that would equal being beaten with a cat of nine tails and carrying that heavy cross up his road? What rejection could I ever face from people who quit Grace Family Church that would equal with Judas betraying him, the one he loved betrayed him, and Peter denying him, saying, I don't even know the man, when Jesus was at his lowest moment? We're talking about someone who knows how you feel, someone who's been through the pain. I love Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews is a rich book, by the way. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is my advocate with the Father. He's my attorney. Come on. Who better to plead your case than one who has been through pain? Fourthly, people don't always understand your pain. Is there anybody that can say an amen to that? Amen. I'll never forget years ago when I was chaplain with the Belvedere Police Department, I was asked to come and speak at a bereaved parents meeting of parents who had lost children. I agonized over it for days. What am I going to speak about? What am I going to say? I can't imagine the pain of losing your child. One thing I always say when I've been on death calls where parents have lost children, I always say to them, God didn't give us the emotion to bury our children. It's not natural. It's children bury parents. Parents don't bury children. And yet that is one of the most painful experiences I've ever witnessed in my life, is to watch people that have had to bury a child. It's painful. So I go and speak to this crowd, and I thought, God, help me. The first thing I said when I opened up was, I said, I am not going to say I know how you feel, because I cannot even wrap my mind around the pain you've gone through. I will go home today and I will hold my daughter in my arms, but I know that you will not be able to do that. So let me begin first by saying, I don't know how you feel, but my heart breaks for you. I had two people walk up to me afterwards and they say, one thing we want you to know, we are so appreciative today when you made this statement, you don't know how we feel. They said, we get so angry when people say, I know how you feel, and we know they don't have a clue. People don't understand your pain. Sometimes they react differently to your pain or your painful experience. Sometimes they'll judge you for it. Look at verse 36. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him? Because Jesus is crying about Lazarus. See how he loved him? But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Isn't it strange? Same verse. There's one group that says, oh, look how much he loved Lazarus. And there's another group that says, wow, couldn't he have... Didn't he have power over life and death? Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Perhaps the hardest part of my job, I really believe, in 33 years of pastoring Grace Family Church, has been burying people that I love. It is the least favorite of part of my job. I do not like to do funerals. I'll almost do anything to get out of it. You say, why, Pastor Keith? Because it hurts. I could begin right now at 11:34 and I could give you a list of people I have buried in 33 years, many of whom were very close to my heart, and it breaks my heart. I just look out here now and I can see, Warner James, how I loved Warner. He went to Israel with me. I planted a tree in Israel for him. Junior Holt, Tom Mason. I could go on and on across this room. People that were members of this church that are now in heaven, and I praise God that they're in heaven, but I miss them here. Amen. You getting what I'm saying? There are times I'm like, Lord, I know they're better off, But I want them here. We still see dimly. But one day, we're going to see face to face. Can you say amen? Here's the thing. In order to have restoration in our life and God to heal the brokenness of pain in our life, we must remove the barriers. Are you with me? Sometimes the barrier is sin. How many know there are times we get junk in our life and God's not going to do a thing until we let go of that junk in our life? Come on, I'm just talking straight to you. You know I love you. Sometimes we just have to let go of the sin in our life. Sometimes it's letting go of the past. Sometimes we got to say, God, I'm going to let that go in my life, that painful experience of the past. There are times when, I'm going to be honest with you, there have been times when I have had to say out loud, God, I forgive that person that deeply hurt me. I may never see them again in this life, but I want you to know I let it go and I want it out of my life. Amen. Are you with me? Yeah. Look at verse 38. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone was laying again. I can still see it just right now as I'm talking here. I know exactly what Lazarus' tomb looked like. And Jesus said, remove the stone. I was thinking about this last night as I was reading this again. And I thought, now Jesus could have raised Lazarus from the dead whether they removed the stone or not. Now it's a big stone, it takes some help, but I would have felt sorry for Lazarus trapped downstairs, because it's downstairs. His tomb, there's a stairs, you got to go all the way down. And Jesus could have still done it, but you know what? The people needed to remove the barrier. Are you with me? He was going to do his part by resurrecting that dead body, but he told the crowd, you've got to remove your stone. How many times do we want God to do his part, but we're not willing to do our part? We need to remove the barriers that are causing pain in our life. We need to say, I'm going to get this out of the way. This is causing pain in my life. I want to remove this barrier. Sometimes it can be people in our life that we associate with that God says, I don't want you associating with that person. You know what I'm talking about? Aren't there just certain people that cause pain? You're around them. They've always got something smart to say, or they're you know. I believe also that stone was a point of contact for their faith. You know what I mean? I mean, but think about it. By removing that stone, either one of two things is going to happen. Either Lazarus is going to come jumping out, or stink's going to come jumping out after 4 days being dead. Right? Probably both. There's a point of no return when you're flying on an airplane. A couple years ago on our anniversary, I was down in Florida and Kathy was going to fly down on February 6th to meet me on our anniversary. And I'm at the airport and I left my cell phone in Fort Myers and I'm all the way up to St. Pete to get her that day in the airport. And I left my cell phone at home. Plane's supposed to arrive at like 1:45. 1:45 comes. I see the thing that she's supposed to land, blah, blah, blah. And the plane doesn't come. It never shows delayed or anything. An hour goes by and it's still not here. By this time, I'm beginning to wonder if she crashed, you know. And an hour and a half goes by. And no mention from the airport or anything. And I am so nervous by this point. And I go up to a total stranger. I said, sir, I'm embarrassed to do this, but I left my phone in Fort Myers and my wife is on a flight and it's still not here. And it's been an hour and a half. Can I borrow your phone? And I called. And Kathy's like, where have you been? I've been trying to call you for 2 hours or whatever. She said, our plane was delayed, and so we were going down the runway, getting ready to take off, and right as we're about ready to take off, the pilot stops the plane because it had a ball bearing that was out or something that didn't work right, and he stopped the plane, and we're still stuck here in Rockford, and I've got a bushel of roses or whatever in my hand. For our anniversary, I was going to meet her, and I'm going through all the jokes of people trying to be funny, walking up saying, oh, are those for me? You know? By the time she got there, they had wilted.
They looked horrible. And I'm like, here's your ugly roses. You know, happy anniversary. You know, only been here 6 hours, you know, at the airport, you know. Finally, she got there. But there is that point of no return. How many know what I'm talking about? You get to a point where you either got to fly or die. Amen. It's either going to take off or, you know, you're not. I think sometimes it's that way with our faith. Sometimes I'm glad when it looks impossible, because then it's not up to me, it's up to God. We just got to let go and let God. Can you say amen? You do what you can do and then hand it over to God and He'll do the rest. If we want God to heal our hurts, sometimes we have to remove the stones that pain has placed in our life. Listen, resentment, bitterness. Maybe you're even bitter at your spouse for something they've done or something you've had a disagreement. Let today be the day where you say, you know what? There's been a wall between us. I just want that to come down. I just want to ask you to forgive me. I want to let go of whatever it was. How many know that sometimes you can even forget what you're mad about? You're just mad. Come on. I love Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. It says, "So I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten." Do you have years of your life that you feel were just wasted because of pain? Come on. Our God is a God of restoration. He said, "I will restore to you those years that the locusts have eaten." I praise you, Father. God's healing is not superficial. Everybody say, God's healing is not superficial. When He heals, He does a good job. Look at verse 41. "So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised His eyes and said, 'Father, I thank You that You have heard me. I know that You always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that You sent me.'" I love that prayer. Of all the prayers of Jesus, I love that prayer. You know why? Because He didn't even have to say words. He knew the Father heard every thought, every prayer, every intention He had. He just says, "Father, I thank You that You hear me. Now, I know that You hear me, but I'm just saying that so these people here will know." Isn't that cool? "And when He had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' A certain man had died in the town of Bethany. Lazarus was his name. Now the Bible says he was a man whom Jesus loved, and his sisters thought it was a shame." That just kind of came on me. I don't know. I kind of channeled Carmen for a moment there. "Lazarus, come forth." Now this is cool. Get this. Mary and Martha knew Jesus could heal, but they're about to learn one more trick in His bag. They're about to learn He has power over death. Come on. "Lazarus, come forth." Now get it, folks. He was wound up like a mummy. He had been buried at the bottom of stairs. And all of a sudden they say, "Lazarus, come." He says, "Lazarus, come forth." And I just see him hopping up those stairs. Mary and Martha just hear a rumbling. "Martha, do you hear something?" I do. "The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth." I can just hear Lazarus going, "Get me out of here. It's hard to breathe in this mummy cloth." You getting this? "Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" That's powerful. Anybody ready to get rid of the grave cloths? "Unbind him and let him go. Take off the grave clothes." Jesus not only wants to heal the hurt in our lives, but He wants to loose us from those grave clothes. Come on, church! I'm sure Lazarus would rather have never gone through the pain of dying But listen, I have no idea how many years Lazarus died, lived before he died again. But I believe he lived a long life. And I just believe people probably, there might have been a little sign as you came into Bethany going, this way to sit and hear a story from Lazarus. I believe people would just come and sit there and say, Lazarus, can you tell me, man? Somebody said you were dead and Jesus raised you. Yeah, let me tell you about it now. They had me wrapped tighter than a, I don't know what. And Jesus called my name and I heard him clear over in paradise. I heard him call me. And I came running up the stairs. Wow. Lazarus was made whole again. Jesus uttered those words, loose him and let him go. I was driving to church today and I was thinking in my mind, okay, God, I know what you want me to preach today, but I have no idea what you want to do with it. I know there are people in here that are going through pain right now. Some of you maybe have physical pain, but I believe there's more who have emotional pain. You're hurting for a family member. You're hurting for someone you love. I just believe with all of my heart, God wants to loose you today from that horrible experience. And he wants to bring some resurrection and restoration in your life. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm not going to have a long altar call, but I just want to ask, if you're here today and you're going through pain, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional, I just want you to come and stand right across the front. And we're just going to have a corporate prayer in closing here and ask God to take away the pain that you've been going through. Maybe it's pain from your childhood. Maybe it goes way back, something that you've never been able to get free from. I want you to just come and stand. I believe there's a number today that God's going to heal you today. It's going to be a powerful thing when we see God release that pain.